Scripture. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18. We're not going to be long tonight. I know that a lot of people are tired, and that's okay. We get tired. If I had to put a title on my message, I'd probably say this: how to advance in the kingdom of heaven. How's that? How to advance in the kingdom of heaven. And we're going to take a look at it God's way. And so let's take a look at this in Matthew chapter 18, verse number 1. I'm going to read, I'm in the New King James Version. And so you're already prayed up. We don't need to pray. Wherever two or three are gathered in his midst, he's right there. So we come together in Jesus' name, and he's here. So we thank you, Lord. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one of these little children like this in my name receives me." We have the same issue today as Jesus had with his disciples. The thing is that we mask it a lot now in the kingdom of God because we understand how to act around human beings and Christian people. But God looks on the heart.
Yes. Yes.
And in Hebrews chapter 4, it says that the Word of God is a discerner of the heart and the intents of the heart. So though we say things and try to do things that look like it's real spiritual, or we try to act like we're real humble, or this, God sees the heart, and he knows if we're really being humble, he knows if we're really being submissive, and he knows if we're not doing things to get something out of it. Now, the reason why I say this is when I got up this morning to give this message, I was saying, "Lord, what do the people need?" And the Lord, right away, boom, two passages of Scripture when I got up in the morning. I'd been praying. I'd known I was going to be here for months. So I've been praying for months, and I hadn't heard anything in months. And I hadn't heard anything in weeks. And then I told my wife, I said, "I'm supposed to minister this week, and I haven't heard anything from God." And my wife said, "Well, you will, and I will." And I rested in that, and I woke up this morning, and there he was, bang, right there. And so what I want to share with you is this. Give us, you know, when you think of something, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art thou in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." People say, "Well, that's not Jesus' prank." Well, let me tell you something. Jesus told you to pray that. Yeah. He told that to the disciples. Yeah. Now listen to this. It says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Okay? And when you think of bread, you need something to eat, right, for your daily substance.
Yes.
But you also need hot bread from heaven. Because
yes.
Man does not live by bread alone. Remember when Jesus was being tempted by the devil? Jesus said this: "Man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth forth from the mouth of God." That's logos, forth being spoken a command. And so you need to hear that. "For man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth or go forth from the mouth of God." Now you have to stay close to him and have ears to hear what he has to say. Now, the logos is a command or a word, and then you have rhema. The rhema word is a spoken word for your particular situation. This is the logos word that we're reading, but it also become rhema to you. If God speaks to you on a situation that you need to hear that fits you, it could be a rhema word. Now, we have the Word of God here, and this is God speaking to us. See, when I'm going to help you with something. When you come to a meeting and you come together as a Bible study, the person that's up giving the message, they prayed up and they're listening to God and they're giving you the word. But it's God speaking to you through this word. And man can be fallible. How many know that? But this Bible is not fallible. You have an anointing from the Holy One and you need no one to teach you. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, it says, and no man needs to teach you. Why? Because the anointing inside of you will teach you all things. Because I can only teach in part as I share what's going on. But the Spirit of God can open up and take that word that's on that page and give, and he can pull it back, the curtains back, and you can see a wide open space of things from God. And what happens sometimes is people, what I call, go to sleep in church. And they miss out. And some people come out and say, wasn't that a great service? And the other person will lie. Yeah. And they'll say, it was. And they'll get in the car and say, I didn't understand a thing they said. I was tired. I was trying to keep awake. But they lied. And if they'd just be honest, I'm going to teach you something. They were immature. But I'm going to teach you according to the Word. And all of us have been through that process. Me included. I've come out and said to my wife, that was the most boring service. And then all of a sudden the Lord would be like, my wife said, I got a lot out of it. And I thought, yeah, I was, what a big baby I was. One time my wife even said, you're just a big baby. I remember that so clearly. I said, you're right. You're right. Because I wanted it my way. I wanted it Burger King. I wanted it my way. And sometimes it's not my way. Sometimes it is. I like it when it's my way. But it's the best way when it's his way. So let's take a look at something he says here. At that time, look at verse 1, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom? Meaning, who is supreme? Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Looking for a position. How do I get there? I want to know. That's what they were saying. Now listen to me. The motivation wasn't to get there so they could bring others. It was get there so they could be something. The problem is they were already something. You're in the best position with God that you're ever going to be in because he loves you. You're born again. You're in the greatest position. But here's what happens sometimes in the body of Christ. If somebody isn't teaching the Bible or somebody's not a Bible teacher or Sunday school teacher or into praise and worship or ushering or doing some kind of work, they think they're less of a person. And that's not true. Those gifts and callings are by God. And so do you know someone like myself could be a pastor, could be a preacher, and guess what? I could be disappointment to God because I may not have prayed. I may not seek him and get up and just pull the scripture out and say, you know, I think I'll just preach on this today. And I can preach the word and it can go forth and God watches over the word to perform it. And you guys will use your faith and get it. But I could be a million miles away from God and I'll have to give account of that.
Same thing with worship.
Absolutely. Anything we do. So when you get a position, let me tell you, there's a great responsibility. So you shouldn't be seeking a position, you should be seeking him. And the greatest position you have is that he loves you. You're not less a person because you don't do something in the church. You are the church. So you don't have to do things. God is looking for doers of the word, not doers of just doing work here. Does everybody understand? And some people get in the wrong spot and they take up a spot that somebody else is supposed to have. Therefore, they're in rebellion. And if you get into rebellion, that's a form of witchcraft. And you actually open up the door for the enemy to come and speak to you. And then you no longer hear the voice of God, but you hear the voice of the devil. And you're no longer a blessing, but you're actually a disaster. And then it happens. They fall down, boom, they get hurt, and they normally take other people with them. So what I want to share with you today is these guys had the wrong motive. They wanted to know and look for position. What kind of position can I get, Jesus? At this time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? How can I be the greatest? How can I be supreme? How can I have rank? How can I have position? And Jesus then says, then Jesus called the little child to him, set him in the midst of them. Now, if you just read that little child, they had a little child, you think, they just had a little child. No, when the Bible talks about a little child, it means one that has been weaned from their mother. And listen to me now, had their intellect trained to know right from wrong. This is a child that's either 4 years old or up. A child that was weaned in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 21, they threw a party, a celebration for the child that was weaned. Isaac was weaned. And so Abraham and Sarah threw him a party and a celebration because no longer is he on his mother's breast, but now he gets to eat. On his own. And he's maturing. So there was a party and a celebration. And Hagar, she didn't like that in verse number 9. Now, they're in tradition of when this was wrote. Remember, this is a Middle Eastern book. This is not an American book. A child was weaned from the ages of 18 months to 5 years of age. That's when they were weaned. Now, this says a little child. Now, this little child had to be weaned. It had to have an intellect that knew right from wrong. So this child also was brought before him. Now, when it says here, he took the little child, notice that he picked the little child. He looked at the little child, and Jesus called the little child to him and set him in the midst of them. Now, listen now. Most little kids sometimes will get bashful or shy, and they don't want to come, right? Because they're all worried about them, right? Okay, I just want everybody to see that. That's called, listen to me, the maturity level of that little child is dysfunctional. That is not the way God designed us to be. Does everybody understand that? So when a little child is shy like that, we should talk to a little child and tell him why he should not be. You're created in the image and likeness of God. God loves you just the way you are. Why are you shy? You should find out, and then you should encourage them and help them. That's what we're to do. We're to instruct them in the way they should go, not keep them shy. My wife was shy. Listen to me. I don't think my wife said maybe 10 words around somebody the whole time we dated when we were in high school. My wife was shy ever since she was a little kid, shy, until she met me. And you know what I did? I just loved her. I helped her. I started feeding her the word. And guess what now? She's assertive. She's able to talk. She's able to know things. She has no insecurity, inferiority, and she doesn't feel like that anymore. Why? Because she'd been set free because somebody finally talked to her. Because all her parents used to say was this, and all the rest of the kids used to say that, that's just Pammy, and she's shy.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying? But that wasn't Pammy.
That's
a lie. Pammy was created in the image and likeness of God, and God likes to converse, and God likes to talk. And so God started talking to her. God started working with her. That's not even part of the message, but I just want to help you with that.
Yes.
All right, here we go. So then Jesus called this little child, and he sets him in the midst of them, in the midst of these disciples. Now remember, they're older men. These are older men. Listen to what kind of disciples these were now. Now this is Levi, a tax collector. Guy had some money, been around people of influence, right? We're talking about fishermen. There was fishermen there, right? James and John, the sons of Zebedee. You had Peter, you had Andrew, they were brothers, they were fishermen. You had other people that were in the different fields that were there, carpenters and different things like that. These are men of influence. They've been around. They know. And Jesus brings this little child and sets him in the midst of these disciples. They're grown men. They've been somewhere. They know some things. Everybody follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay, now Jesus says, the next verse. Look at the next verse, number 2. Now I want to show you something. Jesus sets in the midst, verse 3. Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter, listen to this, the kingdom of heaven. Doesn't say the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. There's a reason why he's saying this. He's going to tell you how heaven functions. That's why when we pray the Lord's Prayer, remember what I told you about the Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in
heaven.
Jesus is going to tell us how things work in heaven right now. The kingdom means the rule. It really literally means the laws, the rules. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
All right. The kingdom of heaven, how things work. Now, he brings them in there, and here's what he says. Look at verse number 3. Assuredly. The word assuredly means this. How many have heard of verily, verily? Jesus said, verily, verily. And they say, when Jesus says it twice, that means you should really listen. When Jesus says it once, it means you should really listen. Right? Come on. Verily, verily, listen, listen, literally means this. It's the word amen. It means the truth. It means truth. It also means, when you say amen, it means of the truth. When you say it. Jesus starts off with amen in the beginning. Most of the time in Christianity, in our Christian circles, we start with amen at the end. And then you'll hear people say things like, there's 1,000 people going to hell. Amen. Well, we don't want to say that, do we?
No.
But amen is a very, 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 very truthful thing. Because Jesus is the Amen. He's the truth. I'm the way, truth, and life, right? Okay, so now watch this. He says, "Surely I say to you, unless you are converted." Now, the word converted means this. It means to be turned. It means that when you're turned or converted, it means that you're turning around as one who no longer cares for another or the old man. It means turning of oneself from one's cause of conduct, to change one's mind. If you don't change your conduct and mind, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So when he says here, be converted and become, the word become is the same thing we get where it talks about become a new creature in Christ. Remember, the old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Become new. So it's a fresh, it's a new thing. It's going back, he's telling them. And be converted. Have a change of mind. Okay? And look what he says here. As little children. Now these little children, again, are ones that are innocent. And they know right from wrong. Okay? And they know how to eat solid food now. They're no longer on the breast and drinking milk. Okay? So this is what he said. Become like little children. Children don't argue. Thank you. Children don't argue. The reason why I said thank you is the Lord just said, tell them what happens when a child gets a meal. They don't complain about the meal. They eat the meal. Only adults complain. No, seriously. Unless an adult lets a child complain, then they complain. And that's that adult's fault. Because every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of life where there's no shadow of turning. So if he gives you a good gift and he gives you good food, why do we complain? Do you see what I'm saying? So a little child is not going to complain. When they get a meal there, they're going to eat that meal because it's good for them. So now when he says here, this little child, now watch this, become, watch this now. Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you'll by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. The word enter there literally means, listen to me, to be, when you enter something, coming in, if you're entering in the room, the way an entrance was made was, so-and-so is now coming in. You just don't come in. Your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name is on a book. You can enter in because the name, Len Cruz is now entering in. Boom, he came in. All right? Now, when you see this, how it's written, surely, he's saying, this is the truth, and the truth of this, is, what I'm telling you, is pure truth. I say to you, unless you are changed in the conduct of your mind, in the attitude of your mind, and in the conduct of your behavior, and you become, in other words, to go back like a little child, a little children, unless you're converted to become as little children, you'll by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You won't even get a step into way how heaven even works or operates. You can't even get in. You won't even get a step inside to get to see how it's worked. Now, the kingdom of heaven, when you think of the kingdom of heaven, that's the realm where God is, listen to me, where angels are. They are ministering spirits sent forth as flames, it says, flames of fire to minister to us, the heirs of salvation. You know what he's literally saying there? That little child becomes like an angel who becomes a ministering spirit down here that's used by God that set a flame of fire to bring forth the kingdom. Amen. That's what he does with little children because they don't argue with him. They do what he says. They're not looking to become great. They already know they're great. That's their daddy. How much greater can they get? Everything daddy has is theirs. It's a relationship. They're not jockeying for position. That kid didn't jockey for any position. Jesus said, come right here in the midst. And he went right there. It was already his son anyways. Do you see what I'm saying? But we get so jockeying for position. And God's saying, that is so immature. The angels are put in order for a reason. Seraphim, archangels, then so on and so forth. They're there for a reason. They're not jockeying. The only one that did jockey is gone. And his pride came and then a fall. These people were in pride acting just like the devil. How do I become like God? Who gets to be great in the kingdom? I want to know, Jesus. Come on, that sounds like a great thing. Jesus said, your heart is wrong. It's not a jockeying a position. You're already in a great position. Now, look at verse number 5. Whoever receives a little child like this in my name receives me. Oh, let's go to 4. I'm sorry, 4. 4, I jumped. Therefore, whoever humbles, the word humble means to not have pride in your soul, to have modest opinion of oneself. Whoever humbles himself is this little child. Watch this little child. Little child standing here. You got to see the picture. The little child is standing in the midst. All these men are around Jesus. The little child's back here. He's a little boy, it says, because he said to him, come. Little boy, age 4 to up. He had to be under 12, because once you hit 13, you're a man. You have a bar mitzvah, son of the law. So he's a little boy, and he's standing there. Here's all these men. How do I get great? Jesus said, come here, little child. And he just walks. And he sits him down to presence with Jesus, and he gives him a little teaching to the adults. First off, the child had to be humble. He couldn't have said, oh, I'm shy, I'm this, I'm there. He was not worried about himself. He was a servant. He was humble. He was a child who, watch this, he listened. And then when Jesus said, come, he came, obedient. Faith. And he walked right there and he sat and Jesus taught. He was a servant. The angels in heaven are servants. They listen and sit in the presence of the Father and they say, holy, holy, holy. If the rocks don't cry out, remember he said, if the praise doesn't come out, he'll have the rocks cry out. Remember that? Remember the children who were praising the Lord and they told them, be quiet? What'd he say? No, don't stop them. Because if you stop them, the rocks will cry out. The kids are already doing what they're doing in heaven. Do you see how important it is to be a little child? Now, watch this. Children, as they say in the South, children. Can therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is greatest. The word greatest there literally means this. It doesn't mean like, it means larger, it means elder. It means stronger. It means mature. Mature. Doesn't mean greater as far as you're getting bigger. You're growing. You're getting more mature. So it says here, therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest, is the mature in the kingdom of heaven. Now, whoever receives, who receives? Jesus identifies himself with a little child. Why? Jesus came as a servant. Jesus came to be teachable. Jesus came to be humble. Jesus was not prideful. Also this, it says here, whoever receives, and the word there, receive, literally means this, to take with the hand, to take into one's family, to bring up, to educate, to give ear to embrace and make one's own, to approve, not reject, to receive, get, learn, take up. Jesus uses this word twice. Whoever receives one of these little ones in my name receives me, takes me by the hand. Now listen, when he says here, whoever receives one of these little children like this in my name, the name has everything to do with everything because a name has a rank or an interest or authority or pleasure or command or excellence or deed. I have the ability to stand behind this pulpit because the authority of Pastor David said, you're going to preach. So it says Pastor David is right here. I actually stepped out of authority tonight. They were singing and playing music. And I got excited and I saw a guitar and I didn't bring my guitar. I said, do you mind if we play? And they said, yeah, go up and you can play that guitar. So I started to play it. And he goes, why don't you play with us? And all of a sudden I go, I'm out of my authority. I have no authority to play. They did not tell me to play. Therefore, I don't have that name or authority. And I asked those guys, please forgive me. I'm not going to do it. I step back in because the kingdom of God operates by authority. And you have to be humble to recognize authority, which takes great maturity. And this, you know what? You could be a six-year-old kid like Josiah and rule the nation like Josiah did. Him and Jeremiah grew up together. But Josiah was king. He was more mature than the kings who'd passed away. God doesn't look on age like we look on age. God looks on the heart. When I stepped out and grabbed that guitar, let me tell you what happened. When I stepped out and grabbed the guitar that Pastor David did not tell me to do, though I was said I could do that, I stepped in rebellion and sin because I wasn't told to do that. So I kindly put that down. I was adjusting the mic and all that. I was getting excited, and all of a sudden my spirit's going, "This is wrong." And I put it down. I said, I'll do this another time. And I went back. Right? Because, listen, even though it was a good thing, it was not a God thing. God did not send Len Cruz here to play the guitar.
Nope.
You see? It was a good thing, but not a God thing. So therefore, Len stepped out. And I could have stayed in that, and the anointing would have left. And guess what would happen? Even though I give this message, it would be credited to me as dung. And God would be upset because I didn't do what I was called to the appointment to do. Like an angel who was sent to, when he went to Gabriel, he had one message to do and he sent it. But what if he decided, I don't want to go to Gabriel, I'm going to go to Elizabeth. Guess what would have happened to that angel? He would have disobeyed God. Do you see what I'm saying, folks?
Yes.
When you get out of disobedience, God doesn't look in that lightly. The problem is kids are tender in their heart. And they don't override those things. And they're easily get, boom, as soon as they're tender, they get right back in. The problem with adults is they don't. Their hearts become hard. That's why you got to go back and become as one who lost yourself. And become as a little child. A little child don't argue with the father. It doesn't need all the details, a little child. They don't. For instance, we're watching our grandkids. Is everybody okay? Because I don't want to go, okay. Okay, I just want to make sure I don't want to get in no trouble. Everybody okay? All right, so am I helping anybody? Okay, so my little granddaughter, Sydney, she's about 5. And my other little ones are 3 and 2. And we're watching them. And I left the ministry, and our ministry was them for 3 years. And that's what we did every Wednesday night because our son was a youth pastor. Our son-in-law and my daughter, they did the youth. So they did that and we watched them. 3 years? 3 years, yes. Okay, so anyways, we're there. Now watch this. I'm the papa. I'm there. I got the 3 grandbabies. We're going to turn on the TV. And I turn on a TV and it looks really good to me. Doesn't look like there's any problems. And my little granddaughter, Sydney, says, Papa, we can't watch that. Little ones, close your eyes. We can't watch that. Mommy and Daddy said we can't watch it. I said, okay, babe. I turned the channel. As soon as she said, Mommy and Daddy said, but I'm the papa, I'm older than Mommy and Daddy. That, thank you. But that little girl was 5 years old, and when she spoke, I said, that's Mommy and Daddy. That's Mommy and that's Daddy. I better do something. I could have said like, oh, no, honey. She was correcting me. But if I had pride, what would have I have done? And what would I have taught her? You can, and I teach her that Mommy and Daddy's word is what? And so therefore God's word is. Do you see what I'm saying? If you don't understand submission and authority, you go nowhere in the kingdom. Nowhere. And there's a lot of people in the pulpit have huge churches have gone nowhere in the eyes of God. Because when the fire hits it, it will be nothing. They'll be left there with nothing. And there's a lot of people in the kingdom right now that have nothing according to God because he looks on the heart. That little child recognized authority, a little kid right there, weaned, 4 to 11. Men around him, he's not trying to get inside there. He's standing outside of them. He had to be attentive because Jesus said, come here. That kid didn't think nothing. He walked right in the midst of those big dogs. Hey, my daddy's calling me. Well, he don't know it's his daddy, but Somebody authority. He recognized authority. He recognized godly authority. And Jesus goes to work. That kid didn't say, well, wait a minute, my mom and dad told me not to talk to strangers. Now, there is a point in that. But without authority, you don't become a servant. And without a servant's heart, you can't go anywhere in the kingdom. Because everyone that got kicked out, one-third of the angels got kicked out of heaven because they did not recognize authority. And they rebelled. And God kicked them out. Go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Every time we disobey authority, God, number one, the Word of God, same thing. Any authority at work, your boss, your wife, your husband are submitted to one another, their authority. The pastor, anybody that is an authority, you therefore hook up with not the kingdom of God, but the kingdom of darkness. And therefore, you don't enter in. You stop the entering in. You stop the work of heaven. The kingdom of heaven in your life stops. It does not go. You're not entering anymore. Does everybody understand that? The kingdom of God is not meat or drink or here or there. The kingdom of God is from within. Now watch this now. Look at verse number 17 of Luke 10. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Man, this is awesome. We got power over the devil. Hey. And Jesus says to him, and he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I wasn't impressed. Like lightning, you know how fast lightning is? It's like, it's already happened. Lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority. Don't worry about it, he's saying. He got kicked out. Why? Because he was rebellious. Go back over. How quick does the kingdom of God stop working in our life? Watch. Listen to me now. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying that you're not going to heaven. I'm talking about the kingdom of heaven working in your life. The devil was thrown out immediately. How soon do you think when you rebel does the kingdom of God stop working? Immediately. That's why when people playing with sin, Christians saying, God understands, he knows me, I'm just working through this. No. God, work was done on Calvary. You need to repent like a little child and stop. Quit playing with sin. It will kill you. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Keep you longer than you want to stay, and it costs you more than you can ever pay. Because you can, listen to me, once consequences start, you can't stop them. No. You can't. You can, listen to me, you can stop the progression of death and ask God to forgive you. But the consequences are always there. Right. Even a person, listen to me, even a person who commits a sin, watch this, who's forgiven, you still have a testimony of the evil you've done. But what about the person that's been pardoned? I'm glad you brought that up. They've been pardoned, but the shame never leaves. You did the crime. You just happen to get pardoned for it. Do you see what I'm saying? You can't escape sin. You can't escape. Let me see. You can't escape sin. You can't escape the effects of sin. Does everybody understand that? Because it automatically stops the kingdom from working in your life, from heaven. Because heaven doesn't operate that way. I didn't say you lose your salvation. Does everybody understand that? All right. Now, let's end tonight. Let's end tonight right there. I'm done.